huge news, years in the making, my brand new book that my publishers refuse to publish, Money Matrix. Beat the money system and build generational wealth. Understand the three main ways that the banks productize you and make money from you. You'll be able to turn that system against itself, build generational wealth and multiple streams of recurring income. It's all at moneymatrix.cash. And if you're quick, the first few hundred registrants and buyers will receive many special bonuses from me. The brand new Moneymaker Summit 3-day special event. Meet me at a champagne reception. Meet me at a multi-millionaire networking dinner. Go now, moneymatrix.cash. This is huge.
Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means shaking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up, an awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive, but also profitable.
When you use your own reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hi, it's Rob Moore here, and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. Now, this man you're about to hear from in this interview doesn't really need an introduction. But in case you haven't heard of Aston Merigold, he is a former member of JLS, who are obviously one of the biggest boy bands that have ever been in the world, I think. They sold over 10 million records worldwide. This started when they finished second in X Factor. Quite rare at that time to get a record deal if you were second. So I think that they're pretty disruptive in that regard. He's now moving into his solo career, which he talks about in the podcast. I really admire the way he's allowing it to take the time he wants it to take rather than rushing in. He's appeared for brand adverts such as Coca-Cola, Samsung, Nintendo. Obviously, if you watch TV, you'd have seen him on Strictly Come Dancing recently. Now, we did this interview at his dance studio, his new dance studio in Vauxhall. Tom, Harry, Felicity, myself, our podcast team, we love going on location. You know, we've done the interview with Dorian Yates in his gym when you could hear all the clanging of the weights. And we did one with Richard Reed in his offices where you can hear the staff in the background. So we thought we'd carry on the theme and go to this dance studio. We maybe didn't plan the fact that it'd be right under a railway bridge, but we thought it added to the authenticity of the podcast. So you'll hear every probably 5 minutes a train going overhead. But yeah, I think that makes it a little bit more visceral and real. I don't want to give too much away about the interview, but we certainly dove a lot into social media, about reinventing your career, about dealing with being a massive celebrity, about the business side of celebrity. So we're always testing new things. Something you'll hear on this as a new little test we're doing is Harry likes to put the microphone on straight away before we've done our testing, and he likes to leave it on afterwards. So there's quite a lot of before and after the actual official interview. And so let me know what you think about that. I think it's just nice for you to sort of hear, you know, what we talk about before we start and what we talk about afterwards. And I just want to say I really enjoyed interviewing Aston. I mean, I've enjoyed every single one. But he made me feel so comfortable, probably one of the most comfortable I've felt interviewing other than, and along with people like Kevin Clifton, who's a very good friend of mine. And you know, maybe you'll see that come through. So here we go. Let's go straight into the interview with Aston Merigold.
How long have you had this place?
We've been open, what, 3 months now?
Oh, right. Quite new.
Yeah. But it's been a year and a half in the making.
Yeah.
This was all offices. So you've had to literally build everything from scratch.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, it's been fucking a nightmare. But it's paying off, so it's fine. I'm like, listen, it's all good. I'm like, fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah, these things feel like a good idea at the time, don't they? And then you don't realise.
Mate, honestly, that it sounds good. If you have to deal with like fucking council and all that shit,
yeah,
you'd be fine.
Yeah.
It's just all like you're going, right, okay, cool. This bulk of cash I'm putting here is perfect. We're going to build everything. It's going to be fine. Da, 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 da. Then it's like you're getting charged one, two grand here, five here, four here, £500 here. Da, da, and you're going...
Didn't budget for that.
Hold on. That's like double the... Yeah.
Yeah. Was there like loads of planning and stuff you had to go through?
Loads of planning. But to the point of like, it's just basically me and my business partner. He was like, yeah, cool. Like, we'll get it done. then I kind of left my missus to, because she's a dancer, so I was a bit like, yeah. You just fucking tell me what looks good and whatever.
Yeah.
So then, mate, yeah, when planning it, my business partner's brother, he's a builder, he's come in, all his team in here, it was great. Then the council going, oh, we need to sign this form, and this form, okay, cool, done. You see, with this form, you need to make sure, do you know what, just, you can't make it easy. Yeah, with this form, that's £1,200. What for? Then when we send this back, then you'll have a certificate to say, it's like, but like, quite honestly, I just feel like there's thousands of pounds that have just been given to the council for no reason at all. And they haven't even been down to...
Stealth taxes, I think they call them.
It's not stealth. It's not stealth, it's right in your face.
Obvious taxes, yeah. In your
it's
face.
Like, hold on.
Aston, thanks for doing the podcast.
No problem, thanks for having me.
Very grateful. We're here at your studios,
yes,
your new studios.
Indeed, yeah, we are based. There we go.
Yeah. We were just having a bit of a moan about getting it all set up through the...
Yeah, put the world to rights. Yeah. You know how it goes, it's just that thing of this, honestly, like it started with a tiny little idea on a napkin. Us drawing out, oh yeah, this would be good in a room here, and then obviously it's come to life, but, you know, the path and the journey to actually, you know, building it from the ground up is, it's testing,
yeah,
should we say, yeah.
When I walked in, I just thought immediately, what a cool place to have a studio. It kind of looks very London, very underground,
good.
Looks cool. And then, of course, when you're in it and the trains are going over every 5 minutes, you're like, is that the best idea?
Yeah, no, do you know what? It's just that thing of, for us, it's like you're under a railway, no noise restriction.
Yeah.
Like people come in here and some of them don't want the music too loud, some of them want it blaring. So every single room in here can hear what's going on. Mm. As you can probably hear now, like stuff goes on and it's a bit like, you want that vibe.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? For a certain place like this, people want to come in and be like, oh yeah, like you just, you know, it's never kind of silent. If it's silent, then I feel like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The smell adds to it as well.
Listen, blood, sweat and tears, literally. Do you know what I mean? There's literally blood, sweat. We haven't even opened a few months, but yeah, there's been blood, sweat and tears already. Yeah, man.
I used to train at Pawley's gym in Peterborough.
Oh, yeah. Ian and Lou Pawley.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to train there. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you know Carl Wheeler? He's a boxer.
I feel like I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to go in that, and it smells quite similar to your studio.
That's just a studio vibe, yeah. Isn't it?
That's how it should be, though.
That is exactly how it should be, and I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Cool. So you've basically had a really great career in a band.
Yep.
And now you're forging a great career as a solo artist.
Yeah.
That must be different. There must be upsides and downsides of working on your own and working with friends and bandmates. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's to be honest, the only real difference is probably the social. Do you know what I mean?
You mean like you've got no friends now?
No, but it's that thing of like you being in a room full of your friends having this, not a heated discussion, but a business discussion. And everyone's passionate and everyone's got their ideas, as I'm sure you know. And it's a bit like, you know, nothing ever comes to like, you know, arguments or blows or whatever it is, but it's... People from an outside perspective, a bit like it gets a bit awkward. They'll be like, "Oh my god, they're going for it." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's that. It's just that passion, and you have them in any business, in any sector of the world. It's a bit like you have those moments where one person may think they're right, and we should be going down this version, this lane, and whatever the discussion is, and it can get passionate, a bit heated and passionate, and then it's a bit like. You know, for us, 2 seconds later, we'd always be like, oh, yeah, so we're all going out tonight. We, you know, what's the crack?
Yeah.
And that would just really freak people out if they were, you know, third party in the room kind of listening to us kind of, you know, talk and discuss. Now, on my own, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah. And do you so like that? Which one do you prefer?
Definitely my way.
Yeah.
100%. As a creative, I think everyone who's, like, listen, being in jail, that's the best thing I've possibly ever... you know, done with my career.
Mm.
And, you know, it set me up now amazingly. Do you know what I mean? So I couldn't be more thankful to the rest of the guys and my team. But being on my own, I'm able to express myself fully. Do you know what I mean? I haven't really got to contribute, let's say, 25% to a four-piece. I can actually go, oh, okay, 100%. This is me. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to be known for. This is what I want to show people. This is me, basically.
Mm. And how do you want to be known? That was actually one of my questions for later. How do you want to be known, remembered?
I think in terms of, if you're an artist and you don't want to be known as one of the greats, I think you're in the wrong lane, you're in the wrong industry. I think, yeah, if I can have an eighth, a third, a slice of anything someone like Michael Jackson had, or, even that, I suppose sooner and nowadays, you look at people like your Justin Timberlakes, more recent legends, I'd say.
Yeah.
Any form of their success and legacy that they've left, if I get a slice of that, that would be, that's me more than happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the way.
And is that music specifically, dance specifically, or the fusion of both?
Do you know what? I think it's entertainment.
Yeah.
I think there's people ask, oh, what do you, if they don't know, then what do you do for a living? I'm a bit like, entertainment. Because it's everything. Music, from a writing perspective, performance perspective, singing perspective, obviously, dance-wise, acting, everything. I love everything to do with this industry. Do you know what I mean? It's just a full, when you look under the umbrella of what you can actually do as a music artist, you have to, in some way, if you're doing videos, it then that's the acting gets added into that. And, it's just, for me, a perfect fit and a perfect mold to everything I've ever been happy kind of doing is, I suppose, being an artist.
Okay. So back to the being in a band thing.
Yeah.
Because I have a business partner, mm-hmm. And I can really relate to what you say about allowing that passion, mm-hmm. which can overflow,
yeah.
and you can fall out. Sometimes you can push your ideas too hard. Sometimes you don't push them hard enough and you end up doing something that actually, I should have put it out here. So how did you and your band learn to deal with that, be like that?
To be totally honest, I don't know why, we just did. There was no kind of learning process. It was just, we were always, I think as individuals, we're just them people to push our ideas and be, fight the good fight.
Ooh.
And I think when it comes to a collective, it was no one wanted to back down, no one wanted to, give in,
yeah.
as such. But when a point was made and it was a bit like, well, if we do this, we can be here. And if we do your thing, we can be here. Where do you want to be? And you're going, actually, to be fair, that's quite a good point. So we should really be over there. Mm. That's the best thing for all four of us. Do you know what I mean? Mm. It wasn't ever looked at as I need to be, here and here and here doing this. It was a bit like, where do we need to be,
yeah.
at the time? And as a collective, what's best for all of us? So, I don't know. I think it was just kind of a learn-as-you-go kind of process, to be honest. But we were just lucky enough that we were four individuals that were more than happy to give our honest opinion to each other, yeah, and not take it to heart as such.
Mm. And did you learn where the buttons were on the other three guys, where if you push beyond this, you're getting it back?
I was always the youngest, and I was the one to kind of not take everything so serious, because I was like, this is fun, I'm in an industry of fun, I'm go on stage, I sing, I dance, do whatever, when it comes to the business side of things, I was a bit like, yeah, I'm more than in the room, I'm more than happy to give my opinion and not back down. But I was a bit like, this is why we again hire a team and management and business managers and whatever else. It's you entrust these people with, the emails to accounting at all. Do you know what I mean? It's everything in between, so we could focus on being creative.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? But when obviously, I suppose sometimes, there was a few times where obviously we have to step in and be like, this doesn't feel right, we need to do this, we need to change this person and whatever else. And we felt no way about doing that. So it was, never really push buttons on a professional or personal level really, because I just don't think there was any kind of need to do that. And if someone was kind of ever feeling a bit tender, let's say, we would just be like, all right, let's back off.
Yeah.
Leave it,
Yeah. And then you add into a mix, management,
yep.
agents, labels. How much of it was them saying, guys, you've got to do this? And how much of it was you saying, wait a minute, we want to do this?
But there was a good 50-50 of that,
yeah.
a lot of the time. A good few times, we were entrusted with our opinion, which was great. But there's a lot of times where we did trust the label, some great, not so great.
Ooh.
That's just the way of the industry. Do you know what I mean? Some songs were hits, some songs weren't hits. The songs that we felt weren't going to be maybe as big turned out bigger than the ones that we thought were going to be big. Do you know what I mean? It was that type of thing. So it's just the luck of the draw half the time. And as I said, it was just us having to entrust our lives, not our jobs, but our lives really to these people. And it was, like I said, I think it's, we had a great run. And for myself and the boys, I can probably speak on their behalf to say it's, you know, it's the best thing we've ever done, and it set us up nicely for wherever we want to go in the industry now. You know?
Now, I don't read the news, and so the news would have why JLS split. Yeah. And if I read it, I probably wouldn't believe it anyway. Mm. So from your position, why do you guys feel like you moved on?
Do you know what? I think it was that's the perfect term. It was a bit like, well, listen, I'm still in JLS. I'm always going to be in JLS. Same as the boys. We always feel the same about that. Mm. But we were all young when we entered the industry. Then we got our break, and it was a bit like, okay, cool. We're all now, you know, mid-20s, and we've already had an amazing career. We've actually still got time to pursue other dreams, if anyone's got them. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it, you know, doing 5 albums, that's a long time. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And that's a lot of music, and we did a lot of tours, and we had a lot of great times, and it was just that thing of going, if we sign a new deal for 5 albums, we're going to be in a, you know, we're going to be not trapped as such, but you're going to be contracted.
Yeah.
And for us, it was a bit like, you know what, some people are starting families, and now, you know, funnily enough, we've all got families. And it's, I don't know, for us, it just felt like the right time to go, cool, we're at the top of our game, we can bow out, we don't want to overstay our welcome. If it's ever welcome back, it's welcome back. If it's not, then we're just like, cool, we're more than happy with where JLS left off. Do you know what I mean? And we don't ever want to tarnish that in any way.
So you're like Zidane rather than Wenger. you had an opening and you took it on your own.
Say no more, that's it. Couldn't put it better myself, do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, what more could we do?
Yeah.
Realistically, so we go, okay, let me go explore other options and try break down other barriers and other doors and just experience life a little bit. Do you know what I mean? As I said, we're all young when we entered the industry, and why not try different things?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Was that scary for you, or was that exciting?
Oh, hella scary.
Like, yeah.
So scary, because you're so cocooned in this bubble, and it's a bit like, cool, let's take a diary, for instance, just so you know you're going to be here, at this time, and the car's picking you up at this time. And that was life.
Yeah.
That was life for a good nearly, 7-8 years. Someone literally sending me a text to an email to a phone call saying, car's outside, car's coming, you need to be wherever at a certain time. That was, it was crazy. Yeah, so that was, you know, from life being kind of handled from every aspect to, there you go.
There's your life back.
Yeah, there's your life back. Go run, be free. And it's a scary but very exciting thing, because you're a bit like, I get to start again, but I've got all this knowledge and wisdom of the industry that I didn't have before. And yeah, honestly, it was just a bit of a rush, to be fair, I think, to kind of, you know, start again technically, but have already done what, you know, every artist kind of dreams of.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And did you have are you the sort of person that, like, you knew what you'd be doing on your own 2 years before, or was it like, okay, I'm on my own now, let's go and find my way?
When I was a kid, I was always like, oh, I'd love to do this and whatever else. But, you know, things change along the way. And obviously, I never saw myself in a band. But then when the band came, I was like, this is brilliant. I love this. I'm with friends and I get to kind of do what I love at the same time. And yeah, when you are kind of, for us, we gave ourselves a year as well. So we kind of let it be known to people. We said, listen, after our next tour, that's it. So we kind of all had a year of kind of planning individual things, and I don't know, when it got to that point, I was a bit like, oh, everything I've kind of been planning is cool, but I don't know, it doesn't really feel right at that time. And I was a bit like, okay, this is interesting. I've been kind of planning this last year to what I'm going to be doing and whatever else, but it just didn't feel right or comfortable when it came to it. So I just, yeah, it just kind of, just I suppose it went along with it in a way and just be like, let me just see where the path takes me. Let me have a look. Like, we didn't plan it before and look how well it turned out. So I'm not going to really plan it now.
Yeah.
And just kind of go with the flow. And listen, you walk into a session thinking it could be any mediocre session, you could walk out with the next thriller. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's as good as that. So yeah, planning to a certain point, obviously within the business, but creatively,
yeah.
Now I had to kind of take a step back and be like, right, I'm just ready to, you know, dive in head first.
Mm. So I really admire that attitude, you know, where you have like a, hey, look, I've got faith that I'm going to be all right. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to be put on the shelf. Because I guess a lot of people who break up from a band must be scared of drifting into nothingness.
Of course, definitely.
You know, I help a lot of people, try my best to help a lot of people who are changing careers and are worried that, you know, they might have a drop in income or they might not find the new career.
Yeah.
You seem totally laid back about the fact that you were massive and then you were just going to embrace the next stage of your life.
Yeah.
So what would you say to people who aren't as laid back as you about that and they're like,
I think what
scared.
Is I think it's like fear. You can look at fear, I suppose, one of two ways. It can really overcloud you and overshadow you and really make you I suppose a bit of an introvert, really. And do you know what I mean? You kind of, you know, sit and chill in the corner in a dark room and just be a bit like, well, I don't really know what to do, I'm scared. Or you could just take it upon yourself and go, ooh, okay, this is scary. Do you know what I mean? Because there's a difference between jumping out of a plane with a parachute and without one.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They're two scary things to, like, regardless if you've got one or you haven't, it's scary to jump out of a plane. Like, jumping without one, it's only going to end up one way.
Yeah.
Jumping with one, listen, you never know what can happen.
Mm.
But you still kind of have a safety net. It might not work, but yeah, at least you know, you're going to confront it and be like, nah, I need to take this head on. So it's, yeah, I don't know. I've just always been that person now. I've just been like, I'm in an industry of, listen, you can be hot one minute, and especially nowadays with social media and whatever, you could just be absolutely killed and career done in a matter of hours. Do you know what I mean? Regardless of what's happened, it's as cutthroat as that.
Mm.
Really, so you just have to, you know, I think as soon as you kind of realize that and know that, life won't really be so stressful. Yeah. You just be like, all right, well, let me try again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that faith? Is that belief in yourself? Is that confidence? Is that accepting of your industry and career and how it can be? Or is it all of those?
I think it has to be all of them, if not a little bit of all of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, I can sometimes see the, you know, I suppose the really bad sides of all of those things in this industry, where people will look at you and be a bit like, oh, you're just too confident. But then surely as a performer, you have to be as confident as anybody out there to jump on stage and be like, I'm going to just totally lay bare. You might as well be naked and be like, oh, there you go. judge away, because that's... Yeah. Like, holy and true, that's what this industry is. People are judging you on your music and how you look and how you act and, you know, everything. So I think it has to be a little bit of everything, especially when it comes to this industry, you know? Yeah.
Has it changed you?
Yeah, definitely.
You're 30, definitely. You're 30 now, is that right?
30, yeah.
30, yeah.
I think it's changed me in a way of, when you look at some stories of people through the industry, it's a bit like, I never, you know, no drugs. Yeah, of course, I'd love to go out and have a drink and whatever and party up. And I think my early days, people probably looked at me and was just like, he's just a party boy. Like, he loves all that going out and whatever else. But I was young and all my friends were in university, like my school friends in university. And they were like, come to London, and we was all living in London. Only difference was I was working and I was earning amazing money at the time.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, boys, we're all going out tonight. All the boys would be living in my flat at the same time as well. It was just literally like a scene out of Entourage.
Yeah.
Quite literally. That, and it, like, I had the best like early 20s ever.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Late teens, early 20s was brilliant. But someone looking in at that going, ah, showing off and whatever else. So I'm going, well,
They don't.
All
know.
My, but all my friends in uni doing the exact same thing, but they're just in uni.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we were all out, having a great time and whatever. It was just, but I'd be just getting a check. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was just that weird thing of, depending on perspective and how people want to look at things, it's a bit like, some people are like, oh, well, he's just out of all his friends from back home.
Yeah.
They're all
what
working harder.
What else does a 20-year-old do?
But that's it. But when you're, exactly, but when you're thrust into an industry of people, everybody's looking at you, it can be looked at, oh, he's just showing off, he's out again. Out again, in the paper again, up to no good, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So other people would just be like, well, as you said, he's 20, he's out. What else would you be doing over a weekend, for instance? But obviously, friends in uni, they're out every night. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So we'd just be like, okay, well, let's go out. I've got work tomorrow. Yeah, of course, but I'm fine. Like, I can take over. This is not a problem. So it's just honestly the weirdest. I think that was just the weirdest time to look back on. Because as I am now, as like I'm engaged, I've got my child now, and it's like I've had a brilliant time. But I'm probably more determined now than I was before, even though I was living this amazing life, and I don't want this to end. Now I go, okay, well, I've had a taste of that was brilliant, but I can actually see another level, and there's another level to that, and so on and so forth. And it's a bit like there's no I suppose there's no ceiling. I think every ceiling that there is made of glass, and if you don't smash through it in this industry, you're gonna get stuck.
Yeah.
Obviously. So for me, it's like I've had a nice progression when it comes to change. I could be a totally different person now. I could be, I don't know, a proper drink addict or drug addict, whatever. Do you know what I mean? I could have been through it all, but it was a bit like I took a different route, stepped away from the party scene as such, and you know, I was working hard. Partying just as hard, but then I was working even harder than that. Now I'm a bit like, oh yeah, it's cool. Like I've done that. I've lived that life. I've got that, I suppose, out of my system in a way. And now it's like, oh yes, I get to actually provide for my family and have fun at the same time.
And you've done all that before 30, which is pretty, pretty cool, isn't it?
Exactly. And everyone's like, well, life starts at 30. And I'm like, geez, if it does, then I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this. See what else I can do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So you talked about these like glass ceilings to smash through. What's your glass ceiling and how are you going to smash through it?
The next glass ceiling is, I think it's just getting music out there for me now and letting people know that I'm a solo artist now. Not many people know it because the world of music now is, I suppose, mainly based online. Everything's online and everything's so quick and so fast and so ever-changing that you can just get lost. And it's me having, I suppose, the courage to kind of go, oh, hold on, wait, let me just step back. Let me look at this and just go, ah, right, okay, this is how I want to approach it. Instead of, at first, I was like, yeah, I want to chuck everything out and do whatever, whereas now I'm like, yeah, if I chuck everything out, I have to do it in the right way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So still, I suppose, doing what I want, but just doing it in the right way.
What is the right way?
I think now just kind of believing that I'm not crazy and going, this song is brilliant. Let's do this. Let's put the backing behind it. I'm going to invest in myself like I have done all these years instead of going, let me wait for the big label again to come knocking on the door and be like, hey, listen, you got any songs you want to put some stuff out? It doesn't happen no more. Like everybody is putting their stuff out through their own teams. Do you know what I mean? And they're reaping the rewards of it because it's just, it's true. And it's honest and people are going, well, this is me, there you go.
Yeah.
Same thing as I do when I'm on stage. I just need to believe in that as much, you know, in the, I suppose, the business side of putting music out, do you know what I mean, by myself.
I really agree with that a lot. Obviously our worlds are very different. But my podcast has nearly 2 million subscribers. And I'm not a celebrity. I'm not known other than what I might be known for this podcast. But I get to meet people I want to meet, talk about things I want to talk about. Let them put their own voice out to the world, unedited, unfiltered, unmediated. And I'm seeing more and more that that's what the world wants to see.
Of course. Listen, everything needs to be here and now. Like, we've got our phones, we've got Literally, like, I couldn't tell you, I suppose. If I'm at home and I'm chilling with the missus and whatever, and just put him to bed, this is great, we're going to chill, have a glass of wine. What should we watch? Like, whatever you want. Do you know what I mean? It's not that thing of, oh, let's put on, and let's, it sounds like, but, you know, let's put, you know, BBC One on or whatever, let's see what's on.
Yeah.
What do you want to watch? Oh, whatever, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Quite literally now, you can watch whatever.
You can watch anything on YouTube by anyone.
By anyone at any time, and it's just, like, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, people, as yourself, just creating your own content and going out there because there's a demand for it.
Mm.
If there's no demand, then you'll realise and be like, okay, cool, there's no demand. That's fine, I need to maybe change my approach or do if that's obviously what you want to do. But when people are actually sitting there going, I want to see this, I want to know what's going on. That's, so it's click and demand, basically.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, yeah, I just, you know, it's that thing of my head now going, the industry's not what it was. 5-10 years ago, people going, oh, this physical CD, there you go. No, now it's, oh, how does my music not sound from the speakers? And how does it sound coming out the bottom of a phone? Do you know what I mean? It's literally come to that now. I'm a bit like, oh, I don't want to, I even want to hear it in the car, or I want to hear it from the bottom of my phone.
Yeah.
Don't care how it sounds in your big, lovely speakers.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because unless it gets to the point where people come to rehearse in a place like this, and it's played in the loudspeakers or it's played in a concert, no one really cares.
Nah.
They want it from their phone, they want it from the TV, wherever. Do you know what I mean? So now it's just having that awareness, I think, this day and age.
Do you think some of the purists struggle with how fast music and information and content is changing? I could take that as a yes.
100%, 100%. Just because it's like, I had a meeting with a great friend of mine the other day, works for a label, and he was just like, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, what are you doing? I said, listen, I'm talking to X, Y, Z. He said, stop talking. Stop talking. I've heard the stuff. It's great. Let people hear it. Let them decide. That's what you've done. But I'm like, yeah. I don't know why for me at some points I'm just going, why am I holding this? I'm the only one. Like, I'm in my car listening to my own stuff because I love it. Because when I want to hear a song, I make it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's basically that. I go, I feel like this song's missing from the industry right now. So I make it. But then I'm the only one listening to it.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, well, what use is that?
Mm.
Quite literally, what if I'm in a business now to entertain and make people feel a certain way, get it out there. Whether it's 10 people hear it or 10 million people hear it, you're gonna affect change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just me kind of sitting back as such and kind of going, oh, let me wait for this perfect time. I think there is no perfect time now. You said everything's ever changing and it's so fast paced that it's a bit like, chuck it in there, get involved in the traffic jam, like fully, like, be there, be seen. Do you know what I mean? Be heard, be whatever. And it's, yeah, I've only recently, I suppose, really grasped that and gone, there's so many avenues for me just to go, there we go, and it's going to spread out.
So, yeah. Well, one thing I feel like I really want to see, and I think we're starting to see now, is people putting out to the world their own truth.
Mm-hmm.
So podcasts, social media, YouTube, etc. Just means that people can communicate in a way that is truthful.
Yeah, of course.
But I think a lot of people are scared to do that because the industry, the media, my fans want to see me do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of a progressive rock band called Porcupine Tree. They're not that well known. And the lead singer put out this basically really happy, upbeat song, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his fans are like, why are you writing shit like that? You should be writing dark, experiential, you know, almost heavy metal progressive rock. And it's like, because I want to do a song like this. And I admire people who've got that courage to say, hey, look, this is who I am.
Yeah, but I think that's where the bare and naked thing really comes to light in this industry, where now more so than ever, if you've got a good catch, if you've got someone who's just starting their career or someone who's at the top of their career, because of all the avenues to get to these people now, you could only really ask for honesty quite directly. Like, just give me your honest.
Yeah.
Give me your honesty, basically. Do you know what I mean? Give me your honest music, whatever, your honest person, whatever it may be.
People can smell a mile off when it's not, can't they?
They can. But at the same way, it's a bit like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, is your happiness brought to you by people not liking your stuff, or people not liking that you're not putting out the stuff that they think you should be putting out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit like, well, you would rather be known and left a legacy of so true to himself, and he did, you know, he only sold 5,000 copies of that album. People might in 20 years time catch on and be like, this album is actually amazing. And it might, people might catch up to it then.
Yeah.
But it, like, it's, that's just showing that, it, you know, that person may be true to themselves. If someone's kind of, you know, and listen, I've done it, I've been there, and you put certain stuff out where, you know, you're getting told by 20 people, this is brilliant, this is brilliant. You're going, yeah, well, I'm in a business where people kind of, you know, want to, I suppose, see me. No, I want to kind of please them in a way, and I want to put music out they want to go to buy. But then in the back of my head going, yeah, but this song's all right. Are you really going to listen to this in your car?
Yeah.
Are you going to go pick this up, or are you going to download this? Nah, maybe not. And I've done it, and you kind of sit there and go, ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
So this is the world that we kind of live in now. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like we aim to please everybody. We don't really want to be judged so harshly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's, you know, I'm in an industry especially where it's just people, oh, you look great in that, you look awful. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like, this is what I wanted to wear.
Did you care at first? Like when you first got in the industry and you're less experienced?
No.
Oh, you just never did?
Never cared then.
That's like a great probably, gift, I reckon.
But you know what started to was the problem.
Yeah.
That was probably the more so the problem. Just especially when it's a bit like, you know, everything's great and you're riding high, then I'm like, cool, I'm going to be a solo artist now.
Yeah.
Let's see what I can do. Still on that high, but then going, this is new to people. Are they going to like this new, I suppose this new me? They used to see me with this person, this, but I'm like, why am I? Now I'm a bit like, why did I question myself so much? So much. And I'm a bit like, which is fine. You can always be a little bit vulnerable at times because it does create honesty, and I've written some great songs whenever I've been in that place. But at the same time, I'm a bit like, who actually cares? Because whatever comment you might see under something you put out or whatever, it's a bit like, okay, that's fine, no problem. Like that one bad comment out of the few hundred thousand whatever nice comments, it's a bit like, why would you want to focus on that? You can't please everyone, so there's no point in going, ah, that really struck a chord, that person said I didn't sound great on that part of the song, when everybody else goes, that was amazing, really good. Why
do you think we do that? Why do we focus on the, like, I've written quite a few books, and I only ever read the 1-star reviews. I'm not reading all the 5-star reviews. Why am I doing that to myself?
Honestly,
I might as well just punch myself in the face.
No, literally. Literally, you might as well just punch yourself in the face. But instead of, I don't know why. But I'm getting out of that habit.
Yeah.
Totally getting out of that habit. I'm a bit like, this whole commenting thing is a bit like, okay, if you really want to leave a comment, that's great. If you're really going to go out, like, I only leave comments if I'm really trying to go out of my way to be like, that was brilliant, that was it. I don't really think I could ever, you know, put comments out there as such to, like, if I'm going to fight my corner, yes, but to go out of my way to be like, nah, that was shit, this is this, you're da-da. What is that bringing to my life? Like, honestly, what is that bringing to my life? What is that?
You're too busy being successful to be able to do that.
Yeah, but it's a bit like, even if I wasn't, what would that be bringing to my life? To sit there and just be like, no, I hate this, and I hate you, and this, and I hate this person. Surely, like, that's just common sense for you to be like, well, if you're throwing that much hate, it's only going to come back. Do you know what I mean? I just don't understand why we really lock onto those negative little minor percentages when you've got, you know, great things in the island.
I think for myself, I think when I'm feeling good about myself, those things don't rock me.
Yeah.
When I'm not feeling good about myself, they can just get in and pick the scab. So it's about, the better you feel about yourself, the more you're like,
yeah. Yeah, and I think it's just up. That only probably comes with, might sound silly, but practice
Yeah.
as well. It's a bit like,
if you need to wake up every day and just be like, and have a word with yourself, literally in the mirror, and be like, listen, you're blessed to be, you know, waking up again today and whatever else, this is going to be a great day. You're going to have a great, whatever, if you need to have a motivational speak with yourself,
yeah,
then do it. If you don't need to do that and you've already in here, you're going, nah, nothing's breaking me today. I'm good to go. I'm going to provide for the family. I'm going to make my, you know, whoever is around me, my parents, friends, whatever, proud, do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like if you're that much of a lonely, negative, hate-filled person that you have to, you know, I suppose, attach yourself to all the negative. It's like, well, that's just...
Yeah.
Cool. You need a quiet word with yourself.
Yeah, go and have a run. Get laid. Do something to make yourself feel alive.
Anything. Anything. You could be doing any one of those things. It just, honestly, it just baffles me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's the culture we live in.
It is. And it's quite scary. And it's like, yeah, no, I can't live like that.
No.
Not at all. No, I'm just, don't know how many days I've got to look forward to. Do you know what I mean? None of us do. So it's a bit like, am I really going to spend them unhappy?
Yeah.
Of course, listen, you might get bad news, but that's for a reason. Mm. Go out and make some good news happen.
Yeah.
And people might sit and go, oh, well, it's easy for you to say if you're doing this, this, and this. If I don't do anything, I can sit at home all day, do absolutely nothing, and the phone not ring. Mm. I actually have to go out and make stuff happen. That's the only way I get to go on stage. I get paid. Mm. I get, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Quite literally, it's like, that's the only way that kind of happens. And I'm like, if I don't do this now, then not just me, but the family's then in trouble.
Mm.
So.
You also sound to me like you get that happiness is a choice. Because I think a lot of people, God, yeah. I know for periods in my life, I've had this lack of happiness because I feel unlucky or bad things happen or I'm a bit of a victim, not realizing you can actually interrupt yourself and go, wait a minute, I can choose to focus on what I've got, not what I've not.
Exactly, and that's what it is. And then what you've got will only accumulate when you put out there going, oh, I would love to, I'm gonna earn this, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna work my way to, you know, this new car or this, I wanna live in this area, I want this house. I'm just a firm believer of, like, you put it out there in the universe in a good way and you work towards it, like it's bound to happen because that's your goal. Do you know what I mean? And it's a bit like if you're happy with the norm, but you want the extraordinary, is that really going to happen?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You have to push yourself to, you know, I think you look at any one of these, like, bodybuilders, for instance, it's a bit like you can go in there really skinny and be like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm going to go gym once and I'm going to be just, I'm going to be gym, I'm going to be beach ready.
Beach ready.
And you know what I mean? But it doesn't work like that. As much hard work as it takes, it just takes time.
Mm.
And that, whatever it is in your day, it might be, I don't know, 20 minutes, it might be 2 hours you've got. You utilise that time, you're only going to get closer to that physique and that goal, right? So surely that would be the same for... Yeah, you go around your normal day, but you take out whatever free time or not free time that you have and you sacrifice and you go, I need to do this because the house is there and it's up for sale. And it's just, to me now, I just feel like, as you said, happiness is a choice, but it now feels more like, well, that's just common sense. Why would I not want to be happy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think that's more profound than maybe you're giving yourself credit for, because I think you've got that. Why would I not choose to be happy? But it's quite alluring and tempting, isn't it? The gossip, the bad news,
I don't know why it's just an attractive thing for some people. And now I'm like, I can't bring that into my world, especially raising a child now. I'm like, I don't want that around me, in the household, anywhere.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah. So a lot of my followers and listeners were really intrigued about the business side of your career.
Mm-hmm.
So did you show a real interest in that? Or did you just go and do your entertainment?
At first, I would definitely say I was like, the business, of course, you know, I'm
just happy-go-lucky. Yeah, cool, we'll get into that, it's fine. You've got an accounting meeting today. Brilliant, great, cool, perfect. We went, what? Oh, yes, lovely. Tax. Why is he taking all my money? Who's this tax? Do you know what I mean? You're young and I'm just like... Then I got to a certain age where I was a bit like, well, hold on, why didn't they teach me this in school? Mm. Why didn't they teach me certain things of whatever avenue you choose to go in, and let's just say, you know what, self-employment. If you choose to be self-employed, why didn't I know that option from school? Do you know what I mean? That, I don't know why it took me to be a certain age and that just click in, but I think for me, at the early stages, it was a bit like money was coming in thick and fast, and he was like, whoa, like, this is not, this isn't real, this is great. Like, right. I can afford to do great things and I can just be flamboyant with my friends and we can go on holiday and do whatever. Then you get to a level of, okay, kind of the party and stuff, I'm gonna leave that. I actually wanna go buy a house and I wanna do this and I wanna grow up a little bit. Then the business side became more serious. Mm. And it was a bit like, right, okay, let's really look at this and let's look at the volume of gigs in the first quarter of the year. Okay, why are they not as much as the quarter, just like the last quarter of the year? And then it's a bit like summer kicks in and that, okay, that quarter's nice, that's quite sparse and doing, you know, your set gigs there, but what is it? Why can't I maintain through the whole year? And it's, you know, that's, I suppose it's the cycle of trying to balance, or learning at first the balance of, okay, well, you're gonna go into a writing period of songs. That's more so probably gonna be quite quiet. You might do the odd gig and the odd TV show or the odd, I don't know, whatever extension the industry brings, that's what you're gonna do, basically, during the writing period. So that's the preparation period. Then it's the release period, do you know what I mean? And then and as soon as you've released and you've gone your promo and you're doing all the things to basically earn the shows, that you're gonna earn the tours and the most amount of money, I was a bit like, oh, so it actually does make sense. This is a proper business cycle. This is actually a format that, and a blueprint that I suppose every artist kind of follows. And I've always been kind of like, okay, that's what it is. Now, completely different. Whereas we've spoken about already, how everything's moving so thick and fast and things are changing technology-wise, it's a bit like, oh, I'm gonna write a song and I put it out today. What? this is the writing period. This is where we normally, you know, I'd normally be writing at this time, bit of a hiatus and get ready, you get in the mindset, and now it's like, as much as it was 24/7 and being like on your mindset and the whole time, now it's like, ah, okay, this is really a daily thing. Mm. You have to be on it all the time, from Instagram to YouTube to Twitter and whatever it is that you may use. People now want to see you, all of you, as well as listen to your music. So that now is a bit like, this whole business side of me being an artist has now totally changed.
Yeah.
And I had to step back. I had to kind of go, right, so I can release music at any time. Whilst I'm writing the music, whilst I might be in a full change of going, I'm going to grow my hair for the next campaign and whatever, you just literally have to now. It's like that yearly cycle could happen in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is just, but that's just shows to me, I think, how far the industry's come.
Yeah.
And I think how far the human race has probably come, because I dare say in not just my industry, several industries out there, things have now just changed because of the platforms that we can reach and the people that we can reach from these platforms. So it's, yeah, the whole business side is now a learning process every single day now, instead of it being, oh, there's something new coming out in the next few weeks and, you know, let's build up to this and let's get ready to kind of launch. People are launching yesterday.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's a bit like, I'm gonna be in the studio tomorrow. Everyone out there will be in the studio, but check out this new song that I just posted last night.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, no, it's you know, studio, then really. All the rule book's been thrown out the window now. Totally thrown out the window.
That just excites the heck out of me, what you've just said. Because, I mean, like, Slade wrote a Christmas number one 40 odd years ago. They're still milking $500,000 a year out of it. Cristiano Ronaldo gets $300,000 or euros, sorry, a tweet, you know, if he does like a brand endorsement. I know there's some downsides to social media and all the attraction, but I mean, if you want to set up a business or you want to be an artist or a creative, surely it's got to be the best time in history. You get a little three-legged tripod like that for £5. You put your phone up there, you start dancing, you start singing, you start selling some products.
That's literally it. That's literally it. Like, as crazy as it is, that is literally my industry now.
Ooh.
Which is nuts, because as I said, the business side of everything that I've kind of taken in and learned.
I mean, you must be older 30 in some ways, looking at some of the teenagers doing this.
Well, you say teenagers, but it's like I've got friends that have got kids that might be 5 or 6 going, oh, I've got a YouTube channel.
Yes!
I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because people are now doing what they want to do. Regardless if it's 10 or 10 million people watching, they're making their own business come to life.
Mm.
Easily. Ah, that one didn't work, I'm gonna go do a new one.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, you can't really do that if you've been launching an album for 2 years and it flops, can you?
No. It's like, this is the new world. And as you said, it is exciting. It scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, of course.
But, as I said, that's the thing where you're going, all right, cool, let's take this fear on. I'm happy to do this. I did this when I walked into an industry, I didn't know anything about it. Oh, I've learned all about it. Oh, but it's changed now. Cool. Okay, here we go again. Let's learn again. Let's you know, learn it and really hone it in. By the time I've done that and really figured everything out, it would have changed.
Mm. And do you embrace all the social media? Are you quite active and on that side of it?
Instagram and visual things I love.
Yeah.
There's things like Twitter that I really I get my head around it totally. But it's, for me, probably 90% negative and 10% positive.
Yeah.
On Twitter, because everyone's giving their opinion. Everyone's like, listen, I'm all for free speech, of course, but you know, if let's take certain artists out there that are in the industry now that are made by the people. They're just putting a song out, they're in their bedroom doing this song and then it's the biggest song in the world, but they haven't honed their artistry in yet. When you're asking them to perform on these stages and they can't do it as well as you expect them to, because you've just watched Beyonce and Bruno Mars and whoever else, it's a bit like, well, these people have been working on their craft for years.
Mm.
This might be a kid in his bedroom that's just done a song and going, oh yeah, I like this. Like, I'm just gonna put out how I feel right now. And then it's the biggest song in the world.
Mm.
But they don't meet your expectation. It's a bit like, who's to blame for that?
Mm.
Well, as far as people are concerned on Twitter, that was rubbish and da 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 da. All the opinions are thrown in them, but no one's actually sitting back and going, hold on, but that's only because you kind of, not, I suppose, rushed the process as such. Do you know what I mean? Made that happen.
Mm.
Do you mean before anyone might be ready? And that might be the curse of the whole, oh, I'm just going to write what I'm doing and I'm just going to put it out and for everyone to kind of see if they like it.
Yeah.
If you're not ready to throw down as such and get on stage in front of however many people and be able to get that standing ovation, then, you know, are you ready then to be putting in music out?
Mm.
Putting yourself out there if you're not ready to be that total artist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's probably poses the big question of my world.
Yeah.
And if people are totally ready for what it brings, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, it must be like a bit of a creative pull for an artist, because you want to be true to your art and great at your work. But, you know, you could spend 30 years being true to your art and great at your work and still never be perfect and still always get judged by the purest critics.
Of course, of course. And that's what I mean. And when it comes to stuff like Twitter, for instance, it's a bit like the trends and all that kind of stuff. You can see what people are talking about straight from that and get fully involved in a conversation.
Mm.
without having to go to someone's profile or whatever, you just tag in their name in it and they, you can just see what's going on. Instagram from Ergo, it's a different story. You have to come to, you have to go out of your way to come to find me. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Look at what I'm doing. Then if you feel to comment, then there it is, your comment in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's more along the lines of what I'm used to in the industry and what I actually probably like, just the, and now anyway, like feel free to comment. If I wasn't comfortable with it myself, and as we said before, looking at all the negative stuff and whatever and really worrying about that, I'd turn comments off.
Mm. Well, I think the exciting thing about social media in today's world is you can dictate the terms.
Yeah.
So if you love all the comments, get involved. You know, I quite like dancing with it all and getting people involved in that regard. If you hate it, turn it off. Even if you're an introvert, do a podcast because no one even sees your face. You don't get any haters on a podcast.
People will probably still try and find a way.
Yeah, true.
But it's, yeah, there's ways around it all now. There's avenues. There's lanes for people. There's places where people can just really express themselves.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. So there's a couple of things I think are really important in building your career and your business. And one of them is building multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
And the other one is making hay while the sun shines. You know, I see a lot of people who are pretty successful and they relax. And you never know whether when there's a recession in your world, you can be the best and then gone.
Gone, yeah.
So do you ever think about, you know, building income streams, having multiple business interests, endorsements? Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on building streams of income and making hay while the sun shines?
I'm 100%, 110%, I'm going to say, like, up for building these streams of income. As I said before, I suppose I, in a way, kind of choose when I'm being an artist. I choose when I get paid because I have to go out and find work.
Yeah.
So if I don't want to get paid, then I just sit at home all day and I won't do anything. That doesn't work for me.
No.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that doesn't work for anyone. No one, I dare say, is that successful that they can fully sit back and go, yeah, cool, because with more money does become, you know, more problems. And regardless of, you know, don't get me wrong, you can live a lavish lifestyle, but that's a lot of lavish bills at the same time. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? As great as, you know, the cars and the houses and the boats that people might have, yet that all still comes at a price. There's still nothing's free.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So regardless if, you know, however successful you are, I'm a firm believer of you're never too successful.
Mm.
Because there's always stuff to pay for and there's always people to provide for. And yeah, like I said, well, we're sitting in one of my avenues now. Do you know what I mean? I was a bit like, well, I always am paying out for a place that I need to rehearse in. I want to film content in and do videos and whatever else. I would just open my own.
Yeah.
There you go. Do you know what I mean? I can come here and rehearse for free. Don't get me wrong. I still have to pay the council, their rent and their
business rates,
everything.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, yeah, it's great. Oh my God, it's working. It's really good. Oh, you must be able to rehearse it for free whenever you want. Yeah, of course. But I'm still paying. Like, where is your paying for maybe a room hire for a rehearsal? Mm. I'm still
paying for 24 hours
for the
day.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's always a bigger picture.
Mm.
Always a bigger picture. And I think, listen, this is just one of, well, I would love 10 of these.
Yeah.
Dotted around the country, dotted around the world. Do you know what I mean? I've been to different locations in the world and you might be doing shows in Australia, the furthest point from us right now. And it's a bit like, can you go find a rehearsal room?
Mm.
Be brilliant if you can have your own. Wouldn't have to be there all the time because it ticks over. You've got amazing staff that, you know, that can come and work for you and uphold the fort as such. But whenever you're, I suppose, in town, yeah, you have got that great space to, you know, I have got that great space to rehearse and do whatever. At the same time, yes, I'm making money, but I'm still paying, you know, it's great. Oh, I'm earning 30 grand. Ah, well, I've got to pay out 28 this month.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, that's listen, profit, yes, and over a long period of time, if you're putting that into something else that then is making a bigger gauge on the profit margin, then listen, that's That's the way I kind of want to live now. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, the party boy days are over where I go, money's coming in, I'm just going to spend it.
Yeah.
Oh, more money's coming in, I'm just going to, you know, spend it. Whereas now I'm going, well, money's coming in, money's coming in, money's coming in, money's coming in. Spend, 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 spend. Oh, but more money's coming. Like I just, from every single angle, just probably more so in the last year that since my little boy's come along, I'm like, no, he needs to be able to have everything that I didn't have growing up, regardless if I can buy it now or not. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like he will fully work for it. He'll definitely be working for it, but at the same time, there will always be the roof over his head. There will be like no worries, I suppose, when it comes to, okay, like I've tried this avenue, this avenue, this avenue. I've exhausted everything. There's nowhere for me to go. There's always a place to go. Do you know what I mean? It's never going to be a silver spoon, as I said, but there's always going to be a place at the table.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've got a business partner, I believe, in this venture, is that right?
I have indeed, yes.
So how important is having a business partner? What have, you know, have you, what benefit have you got?
You know, I think it's nice to, you know, coming from a band, I get that ideas are always great. If you're stuck for ideas, it's always great to bounce off someone. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? In that respect. But at the same time, when I'm off touring and doing whatever else I'm doing, I need someone to be able to hold down the fort in terms of, if we do get a certain letter concerning something with the business, I can't handle that straight away.
Yeah.
He can handle that. Mm. If he's not here to do that, we've got great members of staff now that we entrust with certain things that we go, okay, you know, man the fort until one of us is back and we can kind of, you know, hit that head on. But yeah, like it's nice having a business partner that is totally on your wavelength. Mm. I think if you can find that within any business, I'm sure you know that it just, it's gold dust.
And was that someone you sought out? Was it a friend? Was it a business? How did you find this person?
He actually used to dance for myself and the boys years and years ago.
Right.
And became friends obviously over that period of time. And for me, you know, I'm definitely a believer of the, sometimes like the biggest and best ideas come from the literally the smallest of ideas, because we were literally sitting, I was sitting with my little brother at the time in the middle of town, just having food, having lunch, chilling out. Saw him randomly walk in the restaurant. He come over, he said, oh, what's going on? I was just like, yeah, just going through all this planning and talking to my brother. Yeah, it's imagery and whatever else, all this digital stuff. And then, he was like, oh, really? He was like, yeah, you know, content, we should film some stuff. And I was like, yeah. I was like, well, how great would it be to have our own place to, you know, if I had my own place to film it? And he was like, I've just been thinking about the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Would love a premises to get creative in. Took the napkin down, started writing a whole load of rubbish on there, drawing basically, if we had rooms for a place, this is what it would look like. Like, just under 18 months later, this is it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It all started from a napkin, and it's nice to be able to trust someone on a personal level and trust them with the business.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Regardless how good they are at their business, it's like, it's nice to kind of go, should we go to the pub on the corner and have a drink? Yeah. And actually be able to chat and chill and talk, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a great level, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I've got a perfect world when it comes to that.
Yeah.
At the minute, which is great.
Mm. I think a lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't go into business with friends.
Yeah.
I think the opposite of that is, life's too short to go into business with people just purely for commercial benefit and not enjoy your time together.
Especially if you succeed.
Yeah.
Like, surely you'd want to succeed with your friends,
yeah,
right?
Celebrate it with people you care about.
There you go. So, I mean, I personally now think, like you said earlier about, I suppose the avenues for people to set up their own business now, this day and age. I think that old saying for me now is a little bit like, listen, if they are true friends, you'll never run into any worries.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? People will eventually show their true colours.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Then you'll find out if you're really friends, all that. That's
yeah.
You know, it goes as deep as that. But
yeah,
I think you can be, yeah, you can eat and all your friends can eat at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's important. I think also, you watched him You got to know him.
Yeah.
You know, because like sometimes you go into business people and they do change. They don't change. You just didn't know them.
Yeah.
And if you're in an environment with around people who aren't trying to show you another side to them or pitch to you or whatever, and you get to know them over time, you know everything about them and you know what you're getting into.
No, 100%. 100%.
Cool. All right, so I've got a few more like quick fire type questions. Harry, do you want to do a live? Is that all right? If we do, do you mind if we do a Facebook
cool.
live?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right,
cool.
There you go, mate. Just tell us when you're all ready. What are you up to for the rest of the day?
Just scope out the rest of this place. The missus is in town at the minute.
With her the sister. Missus in town, is that like code word for something?
No, she's in town with the little one and her sister. And I'm a bit like, she's going to be shopping. She's going shopping. So I'm like, I'm going to have to find her soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, just...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sorry. There you go.
Yeah, just here. Do you know what? Just go upstairs. Just check through the books. Make sure everything is as good as it always is. And then good to go, mate. Get on the emails, basically.
Because you had a different name for your album, didn't you? Did you consciously change that then? Or did you... Showstopper it was.
Not even consciously. No. I think at the time, that's what the album was going to be called when that album was ready.
Yeah. Because I really like that name.
Yeah, listen, the meaning behind it also, I think, for me, I'm like, that name's never going to go away, whether it's the name of a tour, whether it's the name of, I don't know, a brand of merch, whatever, do you know what I mean? It will be something, just for the pure fact of, I go, it's just a classic, old school, pop star trait, like you had to be a showstopper, do you know what I mean? And then it's, I don't know. It's just changed now with because the sound slightly changed and I've changed. So creatively, you're always changing. So at the time when that album didn't come out, I was like, okay, we'll change the name of this next one.
Yeah. And when is it coming out? When you?
Do you know what? Now it's a singles game. So I'm a bit like, until I've put out enough singles to go, well, there's an album.
Yeah.
it can kind of come out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's just now putting out track. So that's what I'm going to do. Track. Maybe work on a body of work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Other than that, now I'm a bit like, maybe I'll put 3 tracks out. There's an EP. That's a mini album. Another mini album. Maybe that. But the sheer volume of like 14 tracks, I don't think people can kind of handle it now. They want a playlist of different artists and different people and different sounds. So.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you just triggered my memory because obviously, when iTunes came about, people could buy each track for $1.99, and these pure artists, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, etc., were like, you can't rip my album to bits. This is the album. And you write an album as a journey, probably. You don't start with song 5.
Yeah.
And you know, and there's an... And
trust me, even like track listing now.
Yeah?
I couldn't tell you the last time, even me personally, I've gone to an album and gone number one and let it just play.
Yeah.
Shuffle is the magic button. Yeah. Even if it's one album, shuffle. That's what it is.
That must change the way you put your art out in the world.
Gives me less stress.
Right, well, that's good. Yeah.
Something like track listing, didn't it?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. People aren't going to probably listen. If they do listen to it in order, it will seem like a shuffle.
Yeah.
Or they're going to press shuffle.
Right, yeah. That's some.
Or they'll make it themselves and make their playlist.
Yeah, that's a bit of an epiphany for me, actually. Mm. Like, I'm into all sorts of music, but I'm a bit of a closet metaller as well.
Okay.
And there's this very heavy metal band in the 90s called Pantera. And basically, the first song on every one of their albums was the hardest hitting, straight in, you know, like impact song.
Going in, yep.
It wasn't an intro or anything like that. And because that's not how the albums work, that's changed the game.
Exactly. No, it has, massively. So now, like, even interludes, all that kind of stuff, you're like, this is a good time to put the interlude in.
Yeah.
As you said, the intro. Intro for what?
Yeah. Intro for the the random shuffle. This is the
intro for someone else. Song's up that's coming on after mine.
Yeah.
Nah, sorry. Yeah. It's like just singles game now.
Yeah. But I guess that means you can evolve as an artist quicker.
All the time.
And be more reactive to what the market wants.
Yeah. And you know what? It's almost like you have to try and now not follow the market, which is really strange.
Yeah.
Because there's again learning the industry. You go, what's on radio? I need one of these hits. Just make your own hits now.
Yeah.
People like it, they like it.
Mm.
It'll become a hit.
That's it's as simple as that, but at the same time, it's as complicated as anything out there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, mate.
Yeah. Do you want to let me know when you're ready, Harry? Oh, we're live. All right, cool.
We're live.
So we're live. Aston, this is everyone.
Hello, everyone.
So we'll do the quick fire round.
Let's do it.
But hey, look, it doesn't have to be quick, as long as you like.
Okay, good. I'm right.
So the best advice you've ever received, if you can remember it?
From Seal, actually.
I love Seal.
Yeah,
love
like one of the music. One of the greats. Yeah. He actually said, like the industry, that even like, you know, years ago, it's about 10 years ago now, he's like, enjoy it. It's like, of course we're going to enjoy it. Like, what do you mean? He's like, no. Sometimes step to the side or step back, look around, smile, enjoy. Mm. Regardless if you're playing in front of 50 people at a festival, local festival, or you're playing in front of 50,000 people, enjoy it. Like this is, you're getting to perform, you're getting to, I suppose, do what you want to do. Regardless of the scale, that's how hard you, obviously that's how hard you have to kind of work to get the bigger crowds, but you can just stand back and enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, smile about it.
Yeah, so I'm good friends with Kevin Clifton, obviously, from Strictly. Yeah, yeah. And he's let me come to the show a couple of times.
Nice.
And I was very lucky, and I didn't even know this was, but like Seal was the first CD I ever got. Seal, his album, Seal.
Oh,
the
wow.
First CD I ever got. And it was just like, I love that album all the way through. And he was playing live on the show, and I didn't even know. And this was just like, this is the best thing ever.
So there you go.
Kevin got me a good seat as well. So.
See?
And I just really felt like he was taking his time.
Yeah.
You know, he was really soaking in the audience. The smoothest guy I've ever seen in my life.
But do you know what?
It's like...
He's so, like, don't get me wrong, he's so seasoned as a performer, of course. But you're right, he would take his time. Like, why would you rush?
But we're all rushing now, aren't we, in everything we ever do.
Exactly. Why would you rush that moment?
Yeah. And that really sort of just was a profound moment for me, which was like, slow down, soak it up. Enjoy
like, yeah, while everyone else is literally, you know, when you see them visuals of them films and someone's like standing still, it's like, no problem, keep on rushing. I know where I'm going and doing, so it's, why rush? It's going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So sorry to change it into a bit more negative,
no,
but it's kind of fun.
Go.
Worst advice you ever had?
I ever had.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Honestly, it might sound cliche. I've never actually had bad advice. And if I ever have had any advice that didn't go according to plan, I've just learned from it, which has been probably even more helpful than, you know what I mean, than Seal's advice. So it's, you know, advice when it comes to stuff like maybe a certain song or this song's a hit, you should go with this song. You're like, really? Is it? Don't know if I feel it. Like in my gut's not really telling me, all right, let's go with it.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't do what they're saying that it was going to do and you kind of knew it.
Mm.
That's probably regular bad advice that I probably get. It's always, no matter what industry or sector of life, go with your gut. And I think for me now, people can choose to do it if they want or they don't want. I would now always go with my gut because it's just that feeling that you can't override.
Sure. Okay, cool. A myth about being a celebrity or a person of influence or someone in the media that most people don't know about.
When you get £1 million, you actually get £1 million.
Yeah.
For one, it's a bit like, you know.
You know, you said earlier about the tax.
Yeah.
Why do they not teach you in school if you're an employee, when you get paid, you lose 40% of it? Why don't they teach you that?
Yeah, depending again on your tax bracket, it's a bit like, hold on.
Yeah.
The more money you earn, the more goes.
Everyone's taking a slice as well in your world, aren't they?
Oh, a slice from, you've got your management, your agents, your staff, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It's great. Oh yeah, here's £1 million. Okay, well it's 20% gone, there's 10% gone, there's all your employees, you said tax, it's like basically half. So then all in all you're going, okay, I've earned brilliant money, like you might come out of maybe 200-300 grand.
Yeah.
But when you're being told £1 million in your head.
Yeah.
Don't ever believe the newspapers to say, yeah, that might have been the check, but please believe that's not what hits your bank.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
very, like, you have to work just as hard as the person next to you to even, you know, I suppose, touch that kind of money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I need 5, 6, 7 of them gigs to even get the figure that I was, you know, looking at in the first place. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's very good advice. So anything you strongly believe in the world you'd like to change, or you just, you know, like you think is wrong that, you know, you might put your stamp on?
Everyone's opinion on Twitter,
yeah.
For one. No, it's... I even like the social media stuff for me. I go, it's such a blessing and such a curse, yeah, at the same time. It's... You know, people use it for so much good and awareness and whatever else, but then at the same time, you have to filter through so much rubbish and negativity just to find any, I suppose, scrap of it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So I would just love to be able to, I suppose, put more filters and choice for people like in front of their face, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a bit like everyone's kind of just living, I suppose, this life at the minute. Yeah, I swear, I'm gonna do this. And okay, this is brilliant. But I think this is the stuff that more people could be doing.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's great watching it. Do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Spread a bit more awareness. Spread some goodness. Spread some joy. Do what people want to see. Just create. Great watching, but you can do it as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think that's, people are probably scared. As you said earlier, like you can, you know, £5, get a tripod, get your phone, yeah, create something, put something
We've
out.
We've got a tripod, but for some reason Harry's holding it. He's not actually. Oh, okay, fine. I think there's a common theme that's kind of accidentally come out of this interview, which I want to just say, look, thanks a lot for giving your time, really.
No, listen, anytime, of course.
And then this theme is like there's a two-sided reality to everything. Yeah. I think a lot of people think there's a one-sided reality, i.e. social media is all bad, there's negative, or it's all good, we can get our products out to the world of music in 5 minutes. Mm. Celebrity's all good, I want to be a celebrity, or celebrity's all bad because, you know, of the, I don't know, whatever the void we have that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great theme, is like just understand there's a two-sided reality.
Of course, and there's a choice.
Yeah.
I think is the main thing, I guess. I think that's the main thing that's always going to stick, is you can always choose how you look at things or how you approach things or how you feel about things. Mm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. So this podcast is called The Disruptive Entrepreneur. And I would like to ask you, what does the word disruptive mean to you?
What, now?
Whenever you want.
4.5-month-year-old screaming at 2 a.m. Now, do you know what? I would look at, personally, disruptive probably leans more to a good thing for me, because it's a bit like if there's a meeting of the top dogs going on, I'd feel no way about going in there and be like, guys, listen, and just making myself disruptive. And,
yeah,
and you know, I think that's the one thing that music constantly does. You're always disrupting the airwaves and always guiding people's vision and eye line and ears,
because
you're trying to go, I'm over here. Hey, don't look at him. I'm over here.
Yeah.
That's what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah. And actually often the music that disrupts conventional popular music, mm-hmm, and creates its own new undefined genre, whether it was sort of, you know, rap or hip-hop or even stuff like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
You know, that's Nirvana, whoever, you know, like there wasn't really music like that before. And I guess they said, hey, I'm not going to do it like this. I'm going to do it like this.
Yeah. And then, as you said, you're just disrupting the airways of everyone because they're a bit like, that's not the rules. There are no rules. Do you know
look
what I mean?
Like you enjoy breaking the rules.
I just enjoy proving that there aren't any rules.
Yeah.
I think more so.
Yeah.
It's like these rules are set in place, but like by who?
Mm.
Who said this? It's just because that became a way of life, that's now the, that's not the rule.
Yeah.
No, it's there to be someone to stand in front of them and go, well, actually, I'm going to do it like this. So if anyone wants to come over here, we can do it like this.
Yeah.
And that's just gone to show, I think, with the whole side of my industry now, definitely.
Yeah. Finally then, where can we follow you? Where, you know, where do you want to send people? Your music, your social media?
Yeah, all at, listen, all at, I suppose it's just the name, everything up. I mainly plug, I suppose, everything now for me. Instagram is the is the way. At Aston Marigold is my, yeah, it's just my, I suppose that's my base as such. And that's the, you know, if there's anything that's coming out on the Facebook, the YouTube, the whatever, I always plug it through there first because I probably enjoy it the most.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So basically search your name anywhere and
search the name anywhere.
Have some fun.
Just judge away.
Look, I'm really grateful. Thank you, Aston.
Thank you very much.
It's been
appreciate
great fun.
It.
Thank you. Thanks,